Exodus 2. It is a blessed day to honor our mothers, isn't it? I mean, it's a beautiful weather, and, you know, the spirit here is so good this morning. I hope you feel honored this morning. Those of you that, you know, are blessed, you are blessed, and we're blessed to have you. We praise God for our mothers, and the job of a mother, really, you can't really understand how important the job of a mother is. You know, the things that mom does, the difference that she makes in the home, the spirit that she brings, the beauty, you know, it's amazing. It'd be a terrible thing if we didn't have an opportunity to honor our mothers. And so we praise the Lord for that. But I feel this morning it would do us well to honor a mother who was very, very wise. And then, as we look into the life of Jochebed, that we could gain some insights on what made her so wise. That as a mother, we can emulate the things that she did and learn from this. You might feel that today your influence as a mother is not there anymore, but it's just not true. The influence of a mother never ends. It's always there, and it will always be there until the day you're gone. And then when you're gone, your influence continues. I mean, it's an amazing thing how God can use you. And so today I think we can see some things that will make an absolute difference in your life if we could just grab a hold of these truths. Moms desperately want to be a good mom. You're here today, you're a mom, and I know that it's in your heart to want to be a good mom. You know, no matter where you are in your process of being a mother, you want to be the mom that God would say, well done, you're doing a great job. And I think that just a few things can be perhaps adjusted. You know, maybe a change can take place and can help that you would start to make a difference that perhaps before you've struggled to make that difference in the life of your children. Mothers are more willing to make sacrifices for their children than fathers are. Not that fathers aren't willing to make sacrifices, but it's just clear to see that mothers are willing to make far more sacrifice for their children. Mothers would be willing to admit this morning that you're not perfect and that you do make many mistakes. And, you know, along the way we get discouraged about the mistakes. It might be that you get discouraged about some of the mistakes that you do make, or maybe some that you have made as a mother. But I think this morning, you know, we can identify some things that will put you in a position to do the best thing for your child or children than anything that you could ever do. And it's just a couple simple things, you know. Our nature as parents, whether you're a mother or a father, is to do what's best for your children. And because that is in our nature, we often get confused about what is best for our children, don't we? We know that our children need to make their own decisions in life as parents. But the Bible also says, train up a child in the way he should go. Doesn't it? And so, we know our children need to make their own decisions, but the Scripture teaches us that we need to train them, or teach them, or aim them in a particular direction. By the way, that's the opposite of letting your children choose for themselves. It's not always wise to do that. But it's certainly a mentality that permeates society today. Webster's 1828 defines parenting this way. You ready? A parent, well, by the way, the word parent is defined this way. He or she who produces young But we know that the job of a parent goes far beyond just producing children, you know. Here's one way it describes parenting. The duties of parents to their children are to, three things, maintain, protect, and educate. Maintain your children, protect your children, and educate your children. And then it goes on and brings more definition, which is one reason I really love the Webster's 1828 dictionary to define terms. It says, When parents are wanting in authority, children are wanting in duty. Implication there is oftentimes when our children aren't going the way that they should go, it points back to a parent who isn't doing the training that they should do. By implication, we can see that. What does that mean? It means our children need us. They need us more than just to give them things. They need us to train them. They need us to teach them. They're in trouble without parents to invest in them. Our children are in trouble without parents who will invest in them. But we're willing to do that. But we have to sacrifice to make the proper kind of investments. You know, investments always require sacrifice. You want to invest yourself financially? You got to give up some money, right? You want to invest yourself into a particular field or hobby? You want to get good at golf? You got to put a lot of time into it and money. So investment requires money. Investment requires resources. Investment requires time. And our children don't just need stuff. They need investment. They need a mom and a dad who cares enough to say, I'll give up some things to invest myself in you, to train you, to point you in a way, not to just think you'll figure it out on your own. Train up a child in the way he should go. And the scripture says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The mother of Moses was a woman named Jochebed. I said her name just a moment ago. She was very wise. She was a mother who had character. She was a mother that is to be emulated. Yeah. She's an example for all of us this morning, whether you're a mother or a father. The principles are amazing this morning that Jochebed displayed. Now, mothers would do well to learn the character of this great woman, but us fathers would also do well to learn the principles that will be instilled this morning or demonstrated this morning through Jochebed. So I want you to take notes on her methods. I want you to know what it means for her to be wise so that you might be wise too. It should be noted that Jochebed was not alone in her work as a parent in protecting Moses. Can I say that again? Jochebed was not alone. Now, in the account that we read in Exodus chapter 2, we only hear of Jochebed. We don't even hear her name. We learn of her name in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. The father's name is Amram. The mother's name is Jochebed. But all we know of here is of Jochebed. But when you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says these words, it teaches that Amram was also included in this great plan to protect Moses. And you can check that out on your own, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. So it's not just the job of a mother to protect the children. It's a job as a team, father and mother. But there is a reason when you open up to Exodus chapter 2 that the only person you hear about is Jochebed, because she had the greatest influence. Not to diminish the influence of the father, because they're both involved. But she had great influence. She was the one who put together the plan, also together with Amram, but she's the one who initiated and followed through with the plan to protect Moses. She was the one with the boots on the ground. She's the one that made it happen. So, we're going to learn this morning how to train up a child or set our children, let me say it this way, maybe not train up a child because that's a lengthy process, which God willing, in time, we'll do a lengthy lesson series on train up a child. But what we see this morning is Jochebed who took her child and put him in a position for success. She took her child. She did her part. Together with Amram, they put their child in a position for success. Because they understood, if we don't do this, then there's no hope for my child. There's no hope for them to blaze a path for themselves to God. And understand what I mean, no hope. Obviously, God can reach in through other sources and touch the life of your child. But God can use us to blaze a path for our children by putting them in a position for a life of success. But the question we have this morning is how? How did Jochebed do this? And as we see what she did here, maybe we can, you know, make some application to our lives as parents, grandparents, influences in the lives of children, that we might do the same thing by placing our children in a position for success. She was a wise mother because she did that. She was wise because she saved Moses from destruction. She was wise. Look at verse 1 together with me. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now the phrase, a goodly child, let's talk about it for a minute. They had a child, he was born, and they saw the child, and this phrase came to their heart. This is a goodly child. You know what it doesn't mean? It doesn't mean that he's handsome. What mother has a baby and says, oh man, this is an ugly, ugly kid? No mother says that. Now, fathers might, but mothers don't do that. A mother has a child, and as soon as he's put upon your chest and you hold him and hear his cry for the first time, you know he's beautiful, don't you? So a goodly child doesn't mean that, well, you know, my other kids were ugly, but whoa, this is a goodly child. No, that's not what it means. Matter of fact, it's a Hebrew idiom. It's sort of like a phraseology, you know? It's a phrase that means a particular thing to the Hebrew culture. A goodly child. It basically means this. I want to keep this child. I don't want to lose this child. I care deeply for my child. You understand? And so the emotion begins to take grip of your heart when you can maybe put yourself in the shoes of Jochebed, who had heard through the newsletter of Pharaoh himself as things were being stapled to the wall that the male children born to the Hebrew nation would be cast into the river. Remember the note? Any child born that was a male would be cast into the river, but the females would be saved alive. And so you don't know if you're having a boy or a girl. But when he's born, you realize the horrible news. I'm going to lose my child. What mother wants to lose their child? No. So what mother wouldn't emulate the feelings of Jochebed who said, this is a goodly child? Do you think Jochebed's the only one who tried to hide her child? Do you think she's the only one that attempted to save her child alive? Was she having a child and more than happy to turn it over to the Egyptian authorities? I don't think so. Mother after mother attempting to save her child. Jochebed doing the same. A goodly child. I don't want to lose my child. I want to save my child alive. She longed to keep him, is what it means. She longed to save him. And so she hid him for 3 months. Now, we can understand the intimacy of a parent between a child, can't we? I remember, matter of fact, this was just last week. A couple weeks ago, we bought bikes for the boys. Melissa and I got a bike, so, you know, I'm a little bit nervous. I just kind of have these feelings like I'm going to wreck or something, you know. I haven't rode a bike in forever. And no, I didn't forget how to ride a bike, so I'm doing good on that part. But my kids, they all got bikes. Ethan, though, we didn't get him a new bike because, you know, he gets the upgrades. It's kind of like, bummer. You know, I don't get anything new. I get all the old stuff, right? Well, that's what he got. But he loves it. It's new to him. We put training wheels on Andrew's old bike, and Ethan got upgraded. See, the thing, though, is he's not used to this new bike yet. I mean, his feet barely reach the pedals. You know, he looks totally cute with this bike and his helmet. So he's on it. He's ready to go. So we're going to ride to the park. And when you get out behind our house, you know, there's a pretty big sloping hill before it, you know, sort of flattens out on the way to the park. So we get out there, and I'm, you know, a little bit ahead of Ethan. And he has sort of a brain lock freeze. You know, he totally forgot how the brakes work on his bike. So I could see him. His knuckles were turning white. He wasn't blinking. His feet were frozen, and he started going down the hill. And it was a big one. He's like, "Dad, I can't stop. Use the brake. I don't know how." "Yes, you do. Just go backwards." But he was totally frozen. And so, you know, I mean, okay, something bad's about to happen. We have a pretty massive wreck that's going to take place, and this is going to be scrapes, and he's got his helmet on, so we're good there. But, I mean, so I didn't want that to happen. So I got in front of him, and he wrecked into me. Yeah. Took it. Took the wreck. He fell off his bike. What was that? I survived, yeah. Yeah, he ran over me. What kind of a son are you, you know? You know, he fell off his bike a little bit. He's like, "I don't want to ride this bike." I said, "Get on the bike. We're riding the bike," you know? And then he did great, because the whole way down the hill, it took us like 15 minutes because he's practicing the brakes the whole way down. We go a little bit, go a little bit, you know, don't want to blow it again, you know. I jumped in front of him and I took his wreck. I'm glad to do that for my kids. Aren't you? Aren't you willing to put yourself out there for your children? That's what Jochebed did. She put herself out there because she wanted to save her child. She wanted to protect him. She made herself vulnerable. She said, "I love my child. I want to protect my child." And that's what a mother wants to do, is to protect her children. Yeah. She was willing to take that chance. Look at verse 3. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch. Does that sound familiar? Did you hear that? Did you know that this Hebrew word, first mentioned and only other mentioned in all of the Bible, is when Noah built the ark? It's the only time that Hebrew word is used in the Bible is when Noah built the ark and when Moses' mother built the ark. Now, this gives me tingly chills, you know, but think about it. She knew the story of Noah. She knew what God did. She knew how God told Noah to build an ark that saved the human race and all of the animals. And so by faith, Moses' mother built an ark patterned after the ark of Genesis. I guarantee you, Genesis chapter 6 through 8. She knew the story. She pitched it. She built it all in the same way. And you know what she's praying all the time? God, will you save my child alive? Will you protect him from destruction? Utter destruction? And so by faith, she followed the pattern of the Bible, didn't she? And she put her child inside that. Now, whenever you watch the movies, because there's movies out there about Moses, right? And what they do is they have this ark, and the baby goes in the ark, which is patterned after the ark of Noah that saved the world from the worldwide flood, right? And then what they do next is not biblical, because I'm going to show you what it says in the Bible. I'm going to show you what the movies do, because it might be that you think about what the movies say. We'll correct that, okay? No worries. But the movies put the ark in the water and then push it off. And so you almost have this scene where the ark with Moses' baby in there, the baby Moses in the ark, going downstream in the river, right? And, you know, the alligators coming at it, or you have all of these things, and you just sort of have Moses' mother, Jochebed, on the side, pushing her child into the river. Can you imagine? No. I mean, she had faith to put her child in there, but it doesn't say that she pushed him off into the river. Matter of fact, let's see what it says. When she could not longer hide him, verse 3, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. She didn't shove it off into the river, the ark that is, with her child in it. She gently carried the ark and put it with the tall leaves that came up out of the river. She gently placed it there. Do you know what this means? It means that she put her child in the exact position she wanted him to be. He was right where she wanted him to be because she was preparing him for success. Did you know that as mothers, God has given you the ability to position your children for success? Did you know that it matters, moms, what you allow your children to do? It matters what you allow them to be involved with? It matters what we, as parents, it matters where we position our children? Remember what I started off by saying, that there is sort of a prevailing mindset that our children need to decide their own destiny? You'll not find that in the Scripture. You can do that. Many parents do. But it's not biblical. The Bible says, train up a child. And we see an example of Moses' mother who took him and put him right in the position he needed to be to prepare him for success. And so it does matter where we position our children. It does matter what we allow them to do and not to do. It does matter the influence we allow in their life. Doesn't it? We shouldn't let our children just do whatever they want to do. We shouldn't allow our children to decide what music they want to listen to. We shouldn't. You say, well, you know, I mean, it's music. It's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. And we as parents should not let our children just listen to whatever they want to listen to. You know, I think we should consider that music has a very, very powerful influence in the lives of people today, particularly young people, which it's designed to get to the young people, by the way. And so it does matter what we allow them to listen to. It does matter where we position them in that way, doesn't it? Okay, it matters not only with the music, but also with the entertainment overall, like with TV and movies. You know, you know, it bothers me that some young people have their own access to whatever media they want, whether it be through cell phone or TVs in their room and with unlimited whatever. You know, we should monitor those things. A wise mother is willing to protect her children from the world. Right? Yeah. They need to be protected from the world because if we don't protect them, they're going to be blasted by the world. And they're not going to blaze their own path. They need to be influenced. And the influence they're going to get is primarily going to come from people who invest in them. That's you and me. Yeah, it's their pastor, but it's their mom and their dad who are to be the primary influences in their life. Right? And so, blaze their own path. That's not a wise position. Watch this, mothers, to allow our children to be put into. Media, whether it be TV. How about the friends that they have? Can we identify potential problems by possibly seeing some of the people our children are hanging around with or who are trying to hang around with our children? Now, we don't want to teach our children to be, you know, holier than thou in that way, but it does matter who we allow to influence our children. It matters. And so we consider those few things. It becomes critically important where we position our children. I think this story takes an interesting turn because she taking the child, placing him in the basket, putting him in the flags in just the position where he would be seen by Pharaoh's daughter. Just the position for success. Right where he needed to be for potential salvation from destruction. And then she charged her daughter to watch over him. Well, she did. Look at verse 4. And his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. Mom put her in position. You watch your brother. You come and report to me what happens. So she's watching. She cares what happens to her son. A wise mother is willing to reevaluate rules. A wise mother is willing to reevaluate the influence of her children's life. She is wise to determine to lock down certain requirements in the home. Did you hear that? A wise mother is determined to lock down certain requirements if you're going to live in this house. Amen. You know what one of those requirements should be? You got it. You're going to church, buddy. You're going to be there. Oh, all should be like this. Oh, that's how we do with our guys. Yeah. It's a lockdown. Our children do not wake up on Sunday morning and say, hey, are we going to church today? I've never heard them say that, ever. Because it's a lockdown requirement. We're going to be there. Family devotions. Yeah, it's a lockdown every night. Family devotions. Hey, Dad, are we having devotions tonight? Yes, every night. Even if it's really short, which means we say our favorite verses. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And be ye kind one to another. And then we say prayer and they go to bed. But we have devotions every night. Did you know it's okay to reevaluate things? A wise mother is willing to reevaluate and put some things in place for the sake of our children that we might take our children, not to be a perfect mother, but take our children and position them for success. She doesn't think, as I was mentioning earlier, that her children are so old, or rather old enough, that they can make their own decisions in life yet. Although they might be mature enough to make some decisions, and I think they ought to be allowed to make some. But I think if we allow our children to make all of their decisions on their own, then what they will do is blaze a path, but not to God. A wise mother is not so focused to be her children's friend that she's not willing to tell them what they need to hear. Can I say that one again? A wise mother is not so focused on being the friend of her children that she's not willing to tell them what they need to hear. In other words, she's not so concerned about whether or not her children like her, that she's not willing to lay down some rules and guidelines, patterns that are to be followed, do or die.
Yeah.
She's stern to make her children follow those patterns. Why? Because a wise mother knows that her children need to be put into the position for success. And she's willing to do that. And then it happened, didn't it? The compassion came. Pharaoh's daughter saw him. Look at verse number 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maids walked along by the riverside. And when they saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. She sent the servant girl to get the ark, to get closer to the ark, to see what exactly is it. I thought I heard something over there. What is that? What does that tell us? What does that tell us? Here's what it tells us. That A, the daughter of Pharaoh wasn't willing to wade through the flags, through the tall, potentially hazardous weeds in the river itself, but also that the ark was close enough to the shore that it could be picked up. Close enough to the shore that it could be picked up. You know what that means? That means that the ark was in just the right position to receive the proper influences in its life. He was just in the right place for the daughter of Pharaoh to see him. Not too far away, but just right by the shore, just so the right person at the right time could get their hands on him and see him, and then you'd have the influence that the mother designed for him to have in his life. Just the right influence, just the right time, because he's in just the right place. Right where mom put him. You know, mom, did you know that you have an amazing ability to influence your children just by encouraging them to be in the right place at the right time? Just encourage your children to be in the right place where they can receive the right influence at the right time in their life. That's all Moses' mother did. She had her children right where they needed to be, so the right influences were right there. Can you see that we need to have our children in church? Can we see that if your children are out of church, then they are not in a position to receive the right influences in their life? We need to have them right in the right place. And a mother can do this, can have this influence. Consider how people are spared from hell with me for a moment, would you? Would you consider that? They're in the right place. We're talking about people who are spared from hell. They hear the gospel. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And so we're in the right place. We hear the gospel. If they don't hear the gospel, they can't fall under conviction. They need to hear the word of God. They can't be saved. They're going to die and they're going to go to hell forever if they're not in the right place, if they're not in the position where they can hear the gospel and they can fall under conviction and be saved. God is willing to show compassion. But our children need to be in the right position. Look at verse 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. No, we need to read verse 6. We skipped it. Look at verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had, see that next word? Compassion on him. And said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. She obviously didn't have the same cold-hearted mentality of her father who had murdered all of the children. No, she had compassion. Now verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, this is Miriam we learn later, shall I go call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, powerful word, go. Changed the course of Moses' life. The maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. The mother took the child and nursed it, and the child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. This scene is so dramatic, it's kind of hard to catch every aspect of it, isn't it? But can you imagine your mom of Moses? You're doing the dishes. You're doing the things around the house. You're just kind of taking care of things. Tears are streaming down your face. You don't know. You know you've charged your daughter, Miriam, to watch your son who's there by the river's brink. You're in prayer about the destiny of your child. You're begging God to save him from utter destruction. And here comes Miriam running down the road, kicking dust behind her. She is not wasting a bit of time. You don't know what's going through. Perhaps you saw her on her way, and in your mind, you're thinking the worst. She doesn't have the baby. What happened? She comes in and reports, Mom, 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 you're just not going to believe what happened. Pharaoh's daughter saw just like you thought she may. And that's why we put her in that position. And now she wants you to come. Oh man, you throw the apron off. You're barreling down the road and you're both kicking dust behind you, aren't you? Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our child? What's going to happen to my baby? And there she is, holding your baby. And she says to you, here, take this child. Maybe she wasn't rude. You're a Hebrew, so she probably wasn't nice to you. But here, take this child. And you gently take your child into your arms, who was saved from utter destruction because of your faith. And then she says, nurse this child for me. Can you imagine? Wow. And then she says, and I'll pay you a wage. Wow. Nurse my own child, wean my own child, which was a several year process, and you're going to pay me a wage to do this? Wow. Look what God has done. So it does matter the position we put our child in. It does. My mom made a lot of mistakes. She would confess that. She's not here. I don't want to embarrass her. We don't need to recount any of those mistakes, but she made a lot. And she would admit it. But you know, there was one thing my mom did that was so wise that I could say that any mother in here would be wise to emulate at least this one thing that my mom did. She had me in church. Every time the doors were open, and believe me, it was do or die. I wasn't happy about it always. I was the guy who sat on the back row in the corner with my face in my shirt and my knees up on the back of the pew. That was me. I didn't want to be there. But oh, how wise. Because I was always there, eventually, the preaching of the word of God, which Jeremiah says is like a hammer. How long do you get hit with a hammer before you break? Well, some of us are pretty stinking hard. You know what I'm saying? I was pretty hard. But God was hitting on me through his word like a hammer, and I broke. He got a hold of my heart. And that's why I'm here today. It is. Now, I'm not saying God's going to call all your children to be in the ministry, but I will say, if you have your kids in the right position, you can set them up for success, right? Yeah. Listen, I'm going to finish with this, and so let me have all of the attention of all of the mothers. Please listen to this. Can I have your attention? You don't have to be a perfect mom. Stop it. There's no such thing as a perfect mom. Just put your children in the right position. That's all you need to do. Father, this morning, we thank you so much for Lord, your word, and I think of the example we have of Jochebed and what an encouragement it is. The job of a mother is never truly done. She's always the one who calls. She's always the one who sends the message. She's always the one that always has the word of encouragement. I pray, God, that you'll use these great mothers this morning to make a difference in the lives of their children. And then, Lord, I pray you'd encourage us this morning, please. We thank you so much for your word. We're blessed. We love you. In Jesus' holy name. Let's stand together.